Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, welcome to the show. It seems like one of the things that I have been looking forward to for the past at least 3 months now, as usually it starts warming up here in Albuquerque around February, and it didn't. It would warm up for one day and get cold for a week, and then it would slightly warm up for another day, and then it would be cold for another week. But it's finally started to warm up. Trees are finally starting to get green, which last year at this time they were green months ago. But maybe it has to do with all the liberal crap that's going on, especially here in New Mexico. But I wanted to start out with this one because this one really seems to be catching everybody's attention. This whole thing about Alvin Bragg and his hard-on for getting Trump. And with everything happening in this nation now, it would take a 3 to 4 hour show to tell all the crap that is being handed to the American people by the liberal left in this nation. And also with all the crap that the left-leaning Republicans are trying to hand all of us, all of whom we need to get rid of. The sooner, the better. But out of New York, one of the liberal bastions of this nation, victims' rights head Jennifer Harrison told Newsmax on Friday, which was today, that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has nothing to brag about when it comes to how he's prosecuted violent crimes in New York City. Harrison said on National Report that she started her organization after her boyfriend and his friend were murdered on January 15th of 2005 in a bar fight. She said there were three brothers involved, two of them had records, and were offered freedom. If one brother pled guilty, who ended up serving just 9.5 years for a double homicide, he got out in 2014 and spends every Christmas and holiday with his family posting pictures on social media, which is nice to see, while my life has been completely destroyed. And that was a quote from Harrison. Harrison said that during her testimony before Congress on Monday, quote, I will be speaking on behalf of victims, you know, in New York City that cannot speak for themselves because they're fearful of retaliation. One victim is currently being stalked by her attacker, and she has no voice in Alvin Bragg's office. And then Madeline Brame, who will be speaking about her son, a United States veteran who was murdered on the streets of Harlem, unquote. She said, quote, Alvin Bragg let one of his killers go in a sweetheart deal with just 14 months of time served. And then Jose Aldo will be speaking as well, who was a victim and acted in self-defense, and he was the only one actually charged in that case. The woman that stabbed him and started this whole debacle she hasn't even been charged, unquote. Harrison went on to add, quote, Alvin has nothing to brag about, and that's what we're going to tell the people on Monday, unquote. Alvin Bragg, my friends, is a joke. And he's letting criminals out in New York City in his district while he's going after Trump for something that is a misdemeanor that has been strung together in 30 different felonies, which is impossible. You cannot make a felony out of a misdemeanor unless you're a crooked asshole like Bragg. And that's just exactly the way we see it this day. But as we continue watching what's going on here, we have so many other things that are going on that are just as stupid, just as ridiculous, the transphobia that's going on around this nation, how people are scared to talk out about it because they're afraid of losing their jobs. Well, boo-hoo, I'm not afraid, and I won't be. These people need to put down they are controlling 99% of the American people, and they're less than 1%, and they're controlling us all with fears of homophobism and everything else that they can think of. I mean, all they have to do is make up a word, and we're scared to death. This is ridiculous, and welcome to the show.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to say.
Show me where it said that protest was supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
We are back for another Friday here on Conservative Nation Media and News New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. I'm glad that you are here. Our call-in number is 646-478-5284. What we have in this nation right now is President Trump is running for office again. The Democrats don't want this. Democrats don't want him even near the White House. They got to figure out, and they've said this all along, they've got to figure out a way to keep him from winning back the White House. Right now, he is about 30 points ahead of everybody, including people on the right and everybody from the left. He's so far ahead that they have no chance of winning against him unless they cheat like they did in 2020. And with the way that they got away with that one, mark my words, folks, it's going to happen again. But what we have now is a left that is scared shitless over what is going on because of Trump. He wants to clean up the mess that they have made of this nation. They don't want the mess that they made of this nation cleaned up. They worked too long and too hard to get it to where they are. They absolutely love the idea that people are afraid to even speak their minds when somebody like Dylan Mulvaney comes out. Nobody wants to say, hey, now, wait a minute. That's a freaking guy. Get him off of there. Stop pandering to that asshole. No, they all think, oh, my gosh, I can't say anything. Everybody will come against me. Everybody will say bad things about me. Oh, boo-hoo me. I can't say anything. Folks, this whole idea that we're afraid of a tiny, tiny, tiny portion of our country shows us just how far down the toilet the left has flushed this country. We have got to stop being afraid. They've got us to the point where we're afraid to support a person who is actually fighting for this country. And as he says, the left is after you, my friends, but he's standing in the way. Don't you get it? Don't you get that whatever they do to Trump, they will come and do to you too, if you love this country, if you love America? Now, if you hate America, you don't have anything to worry about. The left will embrace you like a long-lost child. And they will continue to embrace you until you accidentally say something that goes against their way of thinking. Then they'll kick you under the bus. It doesn't matter if you agree with them 99.9% of the time, that 0.1% of the time will get you thrown under the bus. And here we are in a country that's supposed to be free, where less than 1% of the people who are freaks of nature anyway are controlling the rest of us with genitals that they don't even like. There's just no other way to put this, folks. But what we have in Trump right now is a man who is promising to do things. Things that we all want, but things that most people are afraid to admit to. In this next article that I found, so the headline on it was Trump: fire radical Marxist prosecutors. Amen to that. That is what we should be doing, because of these prosecutors who are radical and Marxist are using parts of the law that don't exist or don't exist for the ways they're using them for, trying to push an agenda that's illegal in the first place, or trying to push an agenda that is morally wrong. In other words, they're trying to send us all to hell because they want us to admit that Dylan Mulvaney is a woman. No, he's not. This whole idea that we must celebrate trans week and trans athletes and things like this, no, we shouldn't. We should be taking them out of sports. And if we don't take them out of sports, then we should give them a category all their own. Get this so-called Leah Thomas out of women's sports. He's not a woman. Never has been, never will be. I don't care what he does to himself. It's Rachel Levine in government who says that he is a woman, and I guess one of the magazines voted voted him Woman of the Year or something last year. He's a man, a very ugly man, by the way, and an even uglier woman. But no matter what these people do to themselves, no matter what these people call themselves, they are what they were born. There is no way around this one, folks. You cannot change your sex. You cannot. And this Dylan Mulvaney, he makes me sick just watching him, acting like a damn fool. And then we have all this stuff about Bud Light and how they coddled to him and used him. There are many more companies that have done this, folks. Ulta, the makeup company for women, is using him. Nike is using him. At least I think that's what I saw. All these companies need to be boycotted. Now, I know there's a couple out there that are saying, no, it's not right. And Trump's son, Eric Trump, is one of them. He's saying that boycotting Bud Light needs to stop. And on that one, I disagree with him. He tells the truth. I do like Eric Trump. I like what he says 99% of the time. Now, I didn't get into the article that talked about why he was saying that we need to stop boycotting Bud Light. I don't know why. He may have a good reason there. But I did a thing on one of my updates this last week talking about Jack Daniels doing exactly the same thing. And over this last week, Bud Light has lost, I think the last number I saw was $6 billion because of what they did bringing Dylan Mulvaney into the fold like they did. I don't understand what is so important that we must follow this idiot down the yellow brick road to find the wizard. The wizard isn't there. Period. Because there is no wizard in the world that's going to make him a girl. He's just going to be a stupid guy for the rest of his life. But the one thing that I was starting to read about Trump, the fire radical Marxist prosecutors amid massive crime waves sweeping Democrat-run cities in America, and that also includes Albuquerque here, while time and resources are being focused on a myriad of investigations into him, former President Donald Trump is vowing to fire the radical Marxist prosecutors destroying America. And mark my words, folks, these prosecutors are destroying America. They're taking our laws by the throat and squeezing. He said in his latest 3-minute Agenda 47 campaign policies video posted to social media, he said, quote, there is no more dire threat to the American way of life than the corruption and weaponization of our justice system. And it's happening all around us. If we cannot restore the fair and impartial rule of law, we will not be a free country. As president, I will do will be my personal mission to restore the scales of justice in America. We will have fairness and equality under the law, unquote. Now, you notice he didn't say equity. Because equity, all it is a leftist term to mean that anyone that the right follows and likes has to be destroyed. Equity means they can do this. Equality doesn't. Trump and like-minded conservatives have denounced the funding tied to liberal activist billionaire George Soros in an agenda for criminal justice reform that is denounced as soft on crime. And they are soft on crime. They're releasing people who have done more than Trump had his whole life. Trump's policy video vows to root out the liberal activist agenda and potential corruption if elected as the 47th U.S. president. Trump and like-minded conservatives have denounced the funding tied to liberal billionaire George Soros, which I just got through reading. To that end, Trump said, quote, I will appoint U.S. attorneys who will be polar opposite of the Soros district attorneys and others that are being appointed throughout the United States. Very unfair to our population, very unfair to our country. They will be the 100 most ferocious legal warriors against crime and communist corruption that this country has ever seen. As we completely overhaul the federal Department of Justice and the FBI, we will also launch sweeping civil rights investigations into Marxist local district attorneys, and that's what we have. They are Marxists in many ways, in many cases, unquote. Marxist ideology in criminal justice is related to critical race theory and a rebuke of capitalism. A 1987 DOJ abstract reads, quote, the Marxist critique of criminal justice does lead to moral condemnation. Capitalist criminal justice wrongly punishes people because their acts are caused by socially conditioned antagonism to their fellows in conjunction with limited and unstable opportunities to satisfy their needs and desires, unquote. Critical race theory is defined by the Encyclopedia Britannica as the concept in which race is a socially constructed category ingrained in American law, intended to maintain social, economic, and political inequalities between whites and non-whites. It holds that the U.S. society is inherently or systemically racist. Trump denounced in his agenda video, quote, by refusing to charge countless crimes, these Soros prosecutors appear to be engaging in selective enforcement based on illegal racial discrimination. In Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and every other city where these maniacs have taken over, the DA's offices should face federal subpoenas of their, my ink got smeared on this one, and it covers up the words, and their records to determine whether they have, this is not good here. Let's see here, with all my glasses, whether they have unilaterally violated federal civil rights law. Trump specifically referenced the case of an Austin, Texas Army sergeant who killed a Black Lives Matter protester, a group that is openly Marxist, when he had pointed a gun at him. As part of this effort, there should be a federal inquiry into the Soros prosecutor in Austin, Texas, who charged a veteran with murder for defending himself against the threat by a heavily armed member of a radical left mob. I will also order the Department of Justice to establish a task force on protecting the right to self-defense, which is under siege nationwide, unquote. Trump added a rebuke of the Biden administration Justice Department efforts to investigate Catholic Americans, anti-abortion advocates, and school parents if it had attempted to brand us as domestic terrorists. You remember that one? In addition, he goes on to say, we will have a complete investigation into the use of police state tactics by federal authorities to arrest conservatives and Christians. We will find out who ordered it, and we will hold them totally accountable. Now, these are things, folks, that the left doesn't want brought out. They don't want this. They want their people kept safe. They want their people kept above the law. But he goes on to say, there is much more that we must do. We have to confront these radicalized law in schools. You take a look at what they've done to our schools, our beautiful schools. We have to reform the far-left bar associations and stop the purge of conservative lawyers from major law firms. Unquote. Trump finished with a rebuke of Marxist barbarians. Quote, I will do whatever it takes to save our legal system. Among the greatest achievements of the Western civilization from the Marxist barbarians who seek to destroy it. And we will do that. We will save it. Unquote. And this is what we have. Yeah. To me, I follow the laws, folks. I look at this as something that is good. I look at this as something that is great. Because our laws have been destroyed. Our laws have been morphed into being something that we're... The criminals now are the ones who are law-abiding, and the law-abiding people are the ones who are criminals. That's how the left wants this. That is how the left will work on this, and that is how the left is going. Alvin Bragg is a great example of this. He's trying to make himself look as like holier-than-thou person who really upholds the law by going after Trump in something he has no jurisdiction to do in the first place. And nobody is throwing him out of court on this one. This should be thrown out of court because he doesn't have the jurisdiction to do what he's doing. He's just a district attorney. He's not a federal one. He's not a state one. He's just a district one. He does not have the authority to do what he's doing. Yet, here it is. Nation is turned upside down because people like Alvin Bragg, who reminds me of Alvin and the Chipmunks, Alvin Chipmunk Bragg, and he keeps going like, oh, I'm right. I'm totally right on all of this, and you guys have to listen to me because I'm a district attorney. I'm black. I know what I'm doing. But Alvin Bragg's worst nightmare just hit Congress in the form of what is called the Alvin Act. And I absolutely love this one. Hello, Sarge. Good to see you there. Citing the prosecution of former President Donald Trump as an exercise in the misuse of government funds, Republican Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona has introduced two bills. One, labeled the Alvin Act, and I love that, to cut off funding to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Wow, somebody's finally trying to do something about that idiot in New York. As noted by Fox News, the bills are part of a wider war between House Republicans and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. House GOP members have attacked the indictment of Trump as pure politics by Bragg. House GOP member, and issued subpoenas for documents concerning the indictment. Bragg has sued the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, saying that the Ohio Republicans and his supporters of an unconstitutional attack against law enforcement. Now, here's what I, hello, good to see you there, Sarge. Now, this is what I did an update on. I think it was Wednesday this week, where I talked about this. Alvin Bragg is acting just like a baby here. Oh my gosh, somebody threw has sued me for what I'm doing. I'll just sue them back and show them. It's exactly what he is doing. And it shows this throughout, you know, and if people would just open their eyes and figure out what the hell is going on, This man would be thrown out of office. He would no longer be a whatever the hell he is, because he is not following the law. Oh, boy. I'm glad Joe said he was going to stop by, too. I'm glad to hear that. I was here last week, but I did my show on Thursday instead of on Friday, so because I had to do stuff on Friday and wasn't around. So I did my show on Thursday, so most everybody didn't hear it. I think I had about 8 people who saw it, and Minute Boy was in the chat room then. But District Attorney Alvin Bragg ran on a campaign pledge to invite President Trump. That right there shows that this whole thing is political, absolutely political. There's nothing more to it. And why he hasn't been tossed out on his butt for this shows just how wrong this country is being led. I am at my half hour mark. I will do my break and I'll be back.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back.
Color Only Day here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute a strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that could help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today. Okay, we are back. Phone number 646-478-5284. And I will continue on this one that I was talking about. District Attorney Alvin Bragg ran on a campaign pledge to indict President Trump. That, you know, it's like I said before, that right there should tell you this whole thing is political. Bragg took the unprecedented action of converting alleged minor business misdemeanors to 34 individual felonies in an attempt to put President Trump behind bars and humiliate him and his supporters. Big said this in a statement on his website. This weaponization, this weaponized prosecutor's office has spent thousands of federal taxpayer dollars to subsidize the political indictment and is demanding millions more in federal grants. Now, this is something that should not be allowed. And the people who are allowing their tax money to be used on farces like this, this can be stopped, folks, because one of the things we have to realize here is that without our taxpayer money, the government's broke. They don't have any money. They're broke anyway because of the way they're spending. But that's also putting us into that category. And unless we want to be in debt forever to everybody, we had better stop this. Because the more the left gets away with doing things like this, the more they're going to be encouraged to go out and do it. The left has to learn that they cannot do things like this, making 34 felony charges from one or two misdemeanor charges really cannot be done. A felony is a totally different thing than a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor is kind of like a slap on the wrist type thing. A felony is something major. And this district attorney decided he was going to take these couple of misdemeanor charges and do some witchcraft on them and make them, whoa, they're felonies. No, they're not. And it's just, this is the same kind of thinking as Dylan Mulvaney, who says, oh, I'm now a girl. You're still a guy. Always will be. Never will be anything else. You're just a stupid guy. That's where all of this kind of thinking is coming from, folks. The left gets away with crap that they are doing. And, well, all of a sudden, everybody has to be afraid. Everybody has to be afraid of saying anything against any of these guys because, oh, we might lose our jobs or we might get arrested or we might have men in black come to our apartments and haul us away. Maybe we need to start doing things like this, folks. The America that we know and love is being destroyed. The America that we know and love is being pushed into the trash bin of history. And as long as we sit here and allow this to happen, it's going to continue to get worse because we're just egging the left on by not stopping them. I can remember when I was younger, the left would push things like this, but they kind of push them covertly and
not out in the open, because they didn't know how far they could push it. Now they don't care. They push it right out in the open. They'll state stuff right out in the open. They don't care anymore because we have allowed them to go so far on this that they have no reason to hide anymore, and they don't. Good to see you there, Joseph. But the Accountability for Lawless Violence in Our Neighborhoods Act, or the Alvin Act, which is the Alvin Act here, bans federal funds from going to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and requires it to repay everything granted to it since January 1st of 2022. Awesome. The No Federal Funds for Political Prosecutions Act would bar any law enforcement agency from using funds or property acquired through federally related asset for forfeiture. Oh, Duck Northwest, good to see you there. To investigate or criminally prosecute a president, vice president, or candidate for president, Biggs said Bragg's conduct was catalyst for the legislation. It's disturbing to see District Attorney Bragg waste federal resources for political purposes rather than addressing the serious crime in his city. He's letting them all go. I talked about several of them in my first story tonight. How one lady had her brother and another person killed, and the person who did it was out in 13 months. He's out doing things, taunting people by posting stuff on social media at Christmas time, showing that he's out when these other people who he killed are not around anymore. He destroyed the lives of the families of these people, and he's out there doing everything he wants to do because the left let him go. And that's the way I look at this whole thing. It's all the troubles that we are having in this nation today are a direct cause of how the left is leading this country. And it also has a lot to do with how the right is allowing it. And then this whole thing about Alvin Bragg taking legal action against Jim Jordan after he gets hit with a suit just shows how big of a baby Bragg really is. But Biggs also posted that D.A. Bragg's weaponized office has spent thousands of federal dollars to subsidize the political indictment of a former U.S. president and is demanding millions more in federal grants. And Biggs said he will not let that continue and they will pay us back for what they've used. Amen for that. The Alvin Act was co-sponsored by Republican Representatives Mary Miller of Illinois, Eli Crane and Paul Gosar of Arizona, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, and Bob Good of Virginia. On Monday, the House Judiciary Committee will hold a meeting at the Manhattan titled Victims of Violent Crimes in Manhattan, According to the Hill. The hearing will examine how Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's pro-crime, anti-victim policies have led to an increase in violent crime in a dangerous community and a dangerous community for New York City residents, according to the committee. And I see I got a phone call. Hello, Sarge, you there? Okay. You there, Sarge? I will just leave him on there. The hearing will examine how Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's pro-crime, anti-victim policies have led to an increase in violent crime and a dangerous community for New York City residents. According to Fox News, Jose Alba, a former bodega worker who was charged with a crime after being attacked last year, whose charges were later dropped, will testify. Madeline Bram, who chairs the Victims' Rights Reform Council and who is the mother of a homicide victim, will also testify, as will Jennifer Harrison, Victims' Rights Advocate. And those are the three that I talked about on what is going on with that. Sarge, you there? Okay, well, I'll just put you on hold if you want to talk, let me know by pushing one or something like that, and I will bring you back. Bud Light also suffers a boycott in Wyoming. Nearly half of small-town bars report customers ditching the woke beer. Rainbow bottles of Bud Light are seen on May 4th, 2019 in New York City. And it's had a picture there showing them. But the article starts out and says, read the bar room. Bud Light, cowboys don't want to buy a beer from a cross-dressing man. I love that one. The Cowboy State Daily conducted a small but important survey of small-town Wyoming bars following a marketing campaign featuring transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney hawking the iconic American brew. Five out of the 12 bars surveyed reported that sales of Bud Light were down. So they're losing money there. And it should shock nobody except the East Coast elitists who seemingly dreamed up the campaign, that cowboys in the heartland would shun the product with Mulvaney as its front man. Mulvaney has risen to so-called stardom through his TikTok series, Days of Girlhood, which chronicles his so-called magical journey from being a man to becoming a surgically altered man in a dress who also disturbingly acts like a little girl. This type of person is unappealing to the men and women who enjoy Bud Light, a brand that is as solidly blue-collar all-American as they come. And I'll put this back on. If Sarge wants to talk, then he can. And a woman who identified herself only as Lane, the owner of Tumbleweed in the town of Burns, Wyoming, population of 372, she said, quote, I hear quite a few customers talking about it. I would say a lot, actually. We're a cowboy bar, so. And she stopped there. A previous survey of the Cowboy State Daily conducted of bars in larger towns found no change in sales and taken a hit. Numbers vary, but it seems Bud Light's parent company, Anheuser-Busch, has lost at least $5 billion in market value since rolling out the Mulvaney spot. Still, a full boycott is difficult to pull off considering that Anheuser-Busch owns a heavy of other beer brands. Only time will tell what the true fallout is, but there's more than just market share at stake. It takes generations to build a brand identity in the minds of Americans. Advertisers spend a fortune trying to make positive impressions on up-and-coming buyers. While spending all of this money on advertising, heavy hitters like Bud Light, Disney, and Nike take for granted that they will always be household names. They are betting that they can alienate their current customer base because younger consumers want to see representation of people like Mulvaney and will therefore buy their products. The trouble is, and the call drops, I'm sorry to see that, but the trouble is, these brands only got to where they are now via a path very different from the one they're currently forging. Disney was built by families spending their hard-earned dollars on wholesome entertainment. Nike was built by athletes and those of us who want to dress like one, and Bud Light appeals to young men. These brands are counting on only the most rabid leftists, groups like drag queens and the suburban wine moms who cheer them on to sustain their powerhouse status. Coca-Cola once nearly lost its brand identity to New Coke, and now it seems Bud Light is destined to be another casualty of the new woke agenda. And what I had talked about earlier, I found the article that I had mentioned where Bud Light is not just the only one that is suffering because of partnering with Dylan Mulvaney. There are 13 major brands that are. And as you have unquestionably heard now, Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch have been in a lot of hot water lately. The massive billion-dollar conglomerate made waves this month when it announced a working partnership with transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney that included a commercial ceremonial can emblazoned with the stupid idiot's face. It was not particularly well received. Anheuser-Busch not only drew the wrath of everyday Americans, but musicians like Kid Rock, and I talked about his video last week where he took an AK-47 and shot up a whole bunch of Bud Light, which I thought was just awesome. Travis Tritt also and John Rich all joined in on dunking the beer manufacturer. That's to say nothing about some of the anecdotal evidence circulating that Bud Light was a damaged brand following its association with this moron. Beyond anecdotal evidence, however, is far more disconcerting $5 billion market value loss Bud Light has enjoyed since partnering with Mulvaney. It's that stark financial windfall that should have multiple other companies at least somewhat concerned about working with this man and what it actually entails. Remember, calls for boycotts weren't just against Bud Light. All of Anheuser-Busch's brands, all of which there were quite a few, have been basically put on notice after the Mulvaney Association. Despite that fervent backlash, Mulvaney remains in as much demand as ever, and I don't even see why, as evidenced by other massive multi-billion dollar companies that are lining up to associate with him. A list of Mulvaney's brand partnerships was collected by Newsweek, and it's a veritable who's who of relatively newer major brands. Artisia, which is a popular women's brand fashion boutique, began working with Mulvaney since at least December of 2022. And Sarge, if that was you calling in, you can call back if you want. I had you on there and I couldn't hear anything from you. But they worked with Mulvaney since at least December 2022 when Mulvaney put up an Instagram post claiming to be celebrating the first day of winter as an Artesia gal in my Super Puffs. Another company that's going for this one is CeraVe, C-E-R-A-V-E, a company that specializes in skincare products. CeraVe has partnered with Mulvaney to help with the deconstructing of the activist. Crest Toothpaste, the well-established toothpaste and dental hygiene company, has partnered with the transgender activist to help Mulvaney prepare for future dates. Oh, brother. Budweiser forced to put its famous Clydesdale back in the barn as backlash rages on. House Labs, Lady Gaga's makeup company, is also working with Mulvaney, and it's not going to help them either. Instacart, relatively newer grocery pickup and delivery service that operates in America. Mulvaney partnered with the brand last year to celebrate catching up on things the activists missed before transitioning. Oh, brother. Mulvaney's corporate partnerships largely stay within the cosmetics and the fashion world. Kate Spade, Ulta Beauty, both also work with Mulvaney, but also include some other brands, such kind snacks and KitchenAid equipment. In total, there are 13 brands currently helping turn Mulvaney into a social media super dud. There's Aritzia, which I'd mentioned, CeraVe, which I'd mentioned, Crest, which I had mentioned, House Labs, which I had mentioned, Instacart, which I had mentioned. Then there's K18 Hair, Kate Spade, Kind Snacks, that's K-I-N-D Snacks, KitchenAid, Olay Henriksen, Rent the Runway, Ulta Beauty, Nike, and Anheuser-Busch. While Anheuser-Busch has most certainly felt the fiscal and cultural backlash for working with Mulvaney, it ultimately hasn't deterred the beer manufacturer, which it should. History suggests that neither will the dozen other growing brands that want to work with Mulvaney. If a $5 billion market value loss hasn't deterred Anheuser-Busch from continuing to try and make inroads with non-traditional beer drinkers, other brands may very well find such a trade-off worth it as well. So this whole idea that we are in the process of losing this country just seems to keep going farther and farther down the line because nobody is putting a stop to it. Nobody is talking about it. And the people that do really don't have any consequences to it because we're not heard by that many people. But I wish we were, because from what I have seen, from what I have watched, the ideals of this show stand with most people in the United States. Why are we not standing up to stop this bullcrap? And there's so much going on today that it you almost have to be watching the news almost 100% of the time to catch what everything the left is doing to us. There's another one here, parents not informed of threat by trans teacher. Really? I would think parents would be up in arms over this. But because they're not, this whole kerfuffle is going to continue. And I hope, Sarge, if you're in there, I'm ready to start my second hour. I'd like to have you call in. We will be right back after these messages. The news for America that is good for America never gets reported. So that's why shows like NWCR Radio exist. We will be right back after these important messages.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3
giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM, and see what happens then, where America always wins. Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Well, welcome back to the show. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. So far tonight, all I have talked about is this transphobia that we have in this nation. Several different areas of it. And I will go into a third part. Parents not informed of threat by trans teacher. Parents at a Florida middle school north of Tampa earlier this week expressed outrage, and they should, at school officials for not informing them about a report about a transgender teacher who threatened suicide and killing students in March, multiple reports said. Now, if the teacher is going to be threatening suicide and killing students, at least the parents should be informed of this, shouldn't they? The threats occurred March 24th, according to the Hernando Sheriff's Office incident report, which was 3 days before a reported self-identified transgender individual killed six people, including three children
at a Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. The Sheriff's Office Community Relations Department confirmed the authenticity of the report. 24 parents spoke at a contentious Hernando County School Board meeting Tuesday night. Cable television station Bay News 9 in Tampa said the anger resulted after a local news outlet reported, quoting anonymous sources, on April 7th that threats occurred at Fox Chapel Middle School in Spring Hill. The report read, and it's by the school resource officer from Hernando County Sheriff's Office, said, quote, the assistant principal, Carrie Thornton, and guidance counselor, Kimberly Walby, advised me that a teacher had just made concerning statements about self-harm and then possibly making statements about shooting students, unquote. The incident report was obtained by the parental rights advocacy group Moms for Liberty Hernando County chapter and posted to Facebook. The report identified the teacher as Ashley Resinowski, who it said was born as a male but is currently in the transformation stage of becoming a woman. Now, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this, a man does not have the ability to make a man a woman and doesn't have the ability to make a woman a man, period. You're born a man, you're a man the rest of your life, no matter what you do to yourself. But it says Ashley was born Alexander Resinowski, but legally changed names in October 2021, according to court documents. He says that he was taking hormone medications and was planning on having surgery this summer. So he's still got everything, still. Walby told the resource officer that Resinowski then said the teacher would never harm a student. Resinowski and his wife, Fawn Resinowski, who also teaches at Fox Chapel, consented to a home check, and a sheriff's deputy later collected three forms previously acknowledged by Ashley from their residence. A day after the school board meeting, the Hernando County Sheriff's Office issued a press release indicating that it had obtained a risk protection order to seize the weapons. Resinowski left the school but returned for work the next day, the Daily Caller reported. Hernando County School District mental health counselor or coordinator Sandra Hurst responded to the school, conducted her own assessment of Resinowski, and determined that there was no need to invoke Florida's Baker Act, which allows for involuntary temporary detention in mental health cases. Why not? This guy's mentally out of it anyway. Hernando School District Superintendent John Stratton told the school board meeting that both the school and the sheriff's officer investigated the incidents and determined no further action was needed to be taken. Stratton said both agencies felt there was not an imminent threat. Well, I sure as hell wouldn't want my kids in that class. A message left with the district attorney or district office community relations department about the parents' claims that they were not informed and was not immediately returned. Of course not. If the place that got these messages talking about the parents were against parents' rights, they're not going to contact them. That would go against their morals. That would go against their agenda, so to speak. But this next one actually is a bit of good news. Stephen Passantino, a Washington, D.C. lawyer who represented a former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson during her appearance before the January 6th House Select Committee, is now suing the committee for destroying his reputation and career. It's about time somebody's doing something. Passantino filed a $67 million lawsuit, Federal Tort Claims Act complaint against the congressional panel, claiming the group, quote, manufactured and promoted a false narrative, quote, unquote, about him, and, quote, maliciously interfered in the client-attorney-client relationship, unquote, and disregarded his civil rights to, quote, further a political agenda, unquote, against former President Donald Trump. Liz Cheney and her collaborators on January 6th committee decided to peddle a false tale about Mr. Pasatino and his relationship with his client without any regard for the truth or whether they were destroying the reputation of a good man, a reputation built over decades. Pasatino's attorney, Jesse Benal, said in a statement, according to the complaint, the committee allegedly engaged in back-channel communications with Hutchison without Pasatino's consent, which not only breached the client-attorney relationship, but served to generate a false narrative that was then peddled to news organizations by a lawmaker or a congressional staffer acting outside the scope of their legislative function. According Hutchison, who served as an assistant to Mark Meadows during his time as Trump's final White House chief of staff, swiftly became the January 6th committee's star witness after testifying that Trump allegedly tried to violently hijack the presidential limousine to drive himself to the election protests. A slew of her claims, which stem from third-party conversations, swiftly were contradicted when her sources went on record to refute her version of events. In the days before Hutchison offered her shocking public testimony, she had a change in legal counsel. Before she appeared at the televised hearing, it was Pasatino, a former White House deputy counsel, who had been guiding her through her process, which ultimately included a trio of closed-door depositions before the committee. The complaint states that Hutchison started coordinating with members of the January 6th committee without Pasatino's knowledge after the second interview. The committee, through a back channel directly to Mr. Pasatino's client, in total disregard for the attorney-client relationship, convinced Mr. Pasatino's client to sit for additional interviews and give incredible testimony that could be peddled by national news media friendly to the committee to damage Mr. Pasatino, the complaint states. That description appears to allude to articles such as the one CNN published in December titled, Cassidy Hutchison told the January 6th committee she felt pressure from Trump allies not to talk instead of risk contempt. The story, which is based on transcripts of Hutchison's follow-up conversation with the committee in September, claims that Hutchison felt she had no other option but to retain Pasatino as her lawyer because she couldn't afford to pay the fees other attorneys were quoting her. Hutchison was initially introduced to Pasatino when she sought help financing legal representation from Trump's Political Action Committee, the Save American PAC, after receiving her first subpoena from the lower chamber. After his tenure as White House deputy counsel, Pasatino had returned to private practice, representing several witnesses before the January 6th committee, including Hutchison. The complaint states, quote, Ms. Hutchison never told Pasatino that she wanted a non-Trump lawyer or that she had any sensitivity about Mr. Pasatino's previous work in the Trump White House. She did not express reservations to Mr. Pasatino about him being paid by a Trump-related PAC. Instead, she had solicited that funding herself, unquote. CNN reported that Hutchison claimed that Pasatino repeatedly urged her to downplay her role in the White House and to say that she did not recall events. The article states that Hutchison alleged that Pasatino and other Trump associates dangled job offers around the time of her first two depositions with the committee while her lawyer and others told her to remain loyal to Trump that she would be taken care of. Hutchison later testified that Stefan never told me to lie and didn't want to perjure herself. Pasatino said, told CNN that he was ethical when he represented Hutchison and believed that she was truthful during her initial rounds of testimony at the committee. I believe Ms. Hutchison as being truthful and cooperative with the committee throughout the several interview sessions, and I represented her, he said in a statement to the network. But the complaint states that the negative media coverage tarnished Pasatino's 30-year legal career. Hello, bringing it, boy. Good to see you there. He was forced to take a leave of absence from his private law firm and is facing multiple bar complaints. This is all a result of the committee's unjustifiable, outrageous, and malicious leaks of private information and interference in Mr. Pasatino's representation of his clients, the complaint states. If Congress doesn't honor Pasatino's claim within 6 months, he can file a lawsuit in federal court. We're just having so much fun here. Hello there, bringing it, boy. Good to see you there. And Joseph, if Joseph or Sarge wants to call in, you're more than welcome. I am having a lot of fun. Would like to have you join in. Another article that I found, this one from Western Journal, talks about a disgraced former Biden administration official gets off easy with a plea deal after being charged with a felony. Now, here's this one goes completely the opposite direction. Trump really hasn't done anything wrong, but he's being charged with 32 felonies that were manufactured out of one or two misdemeanors. But now a former Biden administration official is being charged with a felony, but gets off easy with this. A former bureaucrat in President Joe Biden's administration who describes himself as non-binary, oh brother, received a suspended sentence after pleading no contest to felony charges in Las Vegas. Now, this is getting ridiculous here, folks. We have people and Sarge, is that you?
Let me check. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, boy.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's up?
Oh, I've found so darn much tonight, and it's all about this transgender stuff, and every one of them is a different story.
Man, I was, that's right. I've been taking care of, listen, off and on, because I had a couple little minor emergencies I had to take care of around the house. But, man, there's one thing I just love for you to hear, if you allow me to play it for you, that
absolutely,
I think sums up. I mean, look, I got a repertoire of arguments, and the other day on Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens added another bow to my quiver. I swear, and she summed up what needs to be done in her analysis so beautifully, and focus in on a great part of the problem, which is transgenderism, in a way I have heard no one else articulate, and I have to thank her for giving me this new argument. And I'm amazed it got past me, because I'm a big advocate of what she reasoned out. So without further ado, I'd like you to hear what she had to say. I think it was fan-bloody-tastic. And I'm amazed it got past me, because I'm a big advocate of she reasoned out. So without further ado, I'd like you to hear what she had to say. I think it was fan. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. Check this out. Oops, wrong one. Let me get it for you. Because, man, it's beautiful. Hold on a sec.
Uh-oh. I hope he didn't knock himself
people
off there.
Graduate Harvard. They are basically being told that this is the way that they should think. And there's one more thing I want to say here, Tucker, because it's deeply upsetting to me. There is a post-analysis that needs to happen here on why it is that Dylan Mulvaney for 365 days was able to openly mock women, to openly take the spaces of women, to get contracts from Ulta Beauty, to take, you know, contracts from other women and all these sponsorships, and nobody cared until suddenly Dylan Mulvaney traversed into a male space, and it became unacceptable. Why? Because men don't tolerate this level of lies in the way that women do, right? We respond emotionally and not rationally. We should have been the ones to put an end to Dylan Mulvaney, but we didn't because we feel bad. And shouldn't we just feel bad for men that want to be women and mock us and put on lipstick and pigtails and call themselves a girl? I think not, Tucker, but woke culture says yes.
As usual, you've taken it to a much deeper, more profound level than I had thought through. That is so, I mean, in one sentence, it's pretty amazing that the battle of sexes has been won by men with the help of feminists, isn't it?
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, once again, men have to rescue women from this terrible ideology that is taking place right now, and I commend men for doing that.
The great Candace Owens, thank you so much for that.
Now, see, that never occurred to me to hit it that way, and I'm a big believer in chivalry. But
yeah.
Yet and still, Candace Owens, in her usual passionately brilliant manner, came on the problem and gave me a new focus of argument that I think was magnificent. I wish I had thought of it myself, but I got to give it to the sister. She nailed it.
Yes, she sure did, and she's good at doing things like that.
Yes, she is. She's not conventional. She doesn't think conventionally. She doesn't respond to the tired old nostrums. I mean, she actually reasons and thinks for herself.
Yep.
And that was a beautiful thing to say. If men don't accept it, when we might tolerate it, but when this nonsense intrudes in the space that men regard as their space, into our man cave, so to speak, nuh-uh, we ain't having it. We immediately speak out to women, as he says, tend to be more accommodating and reasonable. And it's amazing they're not even noticing that men are doing the ultimate in mansplaining by telling them how it is to be a woman. Men. It's amazing that they're getting away with this. And
right.
It's all under the guise, and here's why you can get away with anything these days. If you just put the label of diversity, equity, and inclusion on it. And you can just about damn to do damn near any kind of atrocity or crime.
Yep.
They used to say patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. I think today, diversity, equity, and inclusion is the last refuge of a scoundrel.
Yep. And Brianna Boy said she put Congress in their place. At least the left, side of it she did. She's talking about Candace Owens.
She's charming, and she's passionate, and she's smart, and she is really wonderful.
Yeah, well, she's got all the things that the Democrats hate when it comes to a woman. She's, you know, it's like she said, like you said, she's charming, she's smart, she's beautiful, and she's knows what she's doing. And the left hates this. You were talking about how women are not talking about this. Well, here in the apartment complex I live in, they're all talking about it. But the only problem is they don't have a microphone stuck in front of their face.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is really the ultimate in patriarchal victory. I can't think of a more thorough patriarchal domination than this transgender issue, especially the issue of men becoming women, because that's the most of it. I don't think there's nearly as many as women wanting to transition to becoming men, although that's probably growing. But the problem overwhelmingly is men who desire to be women. And, it gets much worse. I mean, we might as well throw all reason out the window, because I don't think there's many things more fundamental to being a human being than the binary aspects of human nature.
Yep, exactly. And the thing I think that's really causing problems here on this is that I was listening to KKOB here in Albuquerque, and, you know, you talk about how liberal this area is, but KKOB is actually a conservative radio station, which is kind of amazing here in Albuquerque. But they were talking about Dylan Mulvaney the other day, and even in the conservative circles, they're calling this guy a her. This kind of stuff needs to stop.
Oh, man. I suppose he could call himself a lizard if he wanted to, or a chameleon, or a toad. But, you know, I mean, we would just know that wouldn't be true, no matter how much he insisted upon it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I was kind of happy to see you and Joseph come in today. That was kind of fun. But it's like you know, it's like last week I had all this stuff I had going on Friday, so I did my show on Thursday. And I think Bringing It Boy was the only one that showed up. I think he just kind of wandered through and saw me there. And
what day were you on?
I was on Thursday. I went the day before. So I went on Thursday.
Well, that must be why I missed you. Then where's he at?
Yeah. Okay. I was around. I just did my show on Thursday because on Friday I had a whole bunch of stuff going on. I wasn't even home. So, and then I think next week I'm going into eye surgery. So I'm my updates that I do during the week probably won't be there.
Ouch, I hope it's nothing serious.
No, I've got the lens of my right eye has a bulge in it, which kind of makes everything I see out of that eye distorted.
Oh, okay.
And what they were going to do was they were going to go in and take the things that were growing in the lens out and let the lens go back to its own shape, which they said would have worked, but my insurance wouldn't pay for it. So they said, okay, we're going to do it a different way. We're going to just replace the lens altogether. So after next week, I'll have perfect vision in that eye. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. I know that intraocular lens replacement, you know. I had one because I had an injury to my lens, and I had to have the lens replaced, and it worked perfectly.
Oh, it just amazes.
It
just amazes me the things they can do nowadays. It's just.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, really, it is. It really is. And we live in amazing times. I hope we don't lose it all because of they're trying to destroy civilization. And civilization goes, what powers it will no longer be available. All these marvelous inventions will cease, and it'll be hard to keep the structure maintained. You need energy for
it. It's like here in New Mexico right now, we're losing doctors. Like it's like they opened up a floodgate and they're all leaving. That's because of the liberal policies of our governor and everybody else, but at least there's still a few left. But they're making a grand effort out of this state.
Man, Oregon, I didn't know. I thought Oregon was a cowboy state or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, Oregon is, yeah. Well, New Mexico kind of is too, but the funny part about this is that the liberals in this state were voted in by Albuquerque and Santa Fe and Taos and a couple of other the cities in the north part of the state. The south part of the state is all conservative. So they're all suffering under what the governor's doing to them. And hopefully that's going to stop because she's already lost one of her people because they were doing something wrong and they quit. So some conservatives here in the state are kind of cheering about that one.
Man, speaking of which, I got an article here from the Urology Times that says, unironically and unself-awarely, transgender surgery videos demonstrate cutting-edge techniques.
Oh, God.
They say, and it says that 700,000 people in the United States alone identify as transgender, and this represents a significant unmet patient need. Although the field is new and encompasses both plastic surgery and urology, urologists are more familiar with the anatomy, both male and female, than any other specialty. And then they go on to have a video to show their cutting-edge techniques. I don't think I want to see it. But I'll tell you what, if you want to see it or anybody out there in the audience, I'm going to put a link to it in the chat room so you can
see. Oh, okay, I know there's
these cutting-edge techniques. I really don't.
No, I definitely don't want to see that. It's just You know, because no matter what they do, and I've said this so many times that, you know, no matter what they do, they can completely change their bodies. They're still what they were born as. Their DNA will tell on them.
Yeah, they have to be. I mean, unless you could change. I mean, let's say most of the DNA is gone except for the bone marrow, and well, the skeleton's going to be there. So there's DNA in the skeleton. But even without a DNA analysis, the morphology of the skeleton gives everything away.
Yep.
And even a small man is going to have the morphology, the anatomical morphology of a man. It's still different, even in small men and even in large women. Large women still have the morphology of a woman.
Yep.
So it isn't necessarily size, you know, because after all, boys, you could tell their skeletal remains, whether they were male or female, even without a DNA chromosomal test.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. And bringing a boy says men and boys have been stifled with toxic masculinity. Absolutely.
That's impossible because masculinity cannot be toxic. They've been stopped by people telling them that masculinity is toxic. Masculinity is simply the state of being masculine. It can't be toxic any more than femininity could be toxic. There are people who are toxic, male and female, but inherently masculinity nor femininity is toxic. It's simply a descriptor for the state of being masculine or feminine.
Yeah, and I agree. I think I got Joseph in here.
People up here. They've been pulling mind games on us for years. They just speak something, and therefore that makes it so, according to their lights.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Our doctors in this country, and doctors can do what they want, but they don't. They should not receive any taxpayer or federal funds or state funds for their research for that transgender crap. That should be outlawed. There should be that's research that should be banned. You know, kind of like cloning. You know.
Yep, I agree with you there. And that's Joseph, right?
Yes, Joe Gibson, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. I'm telling you, this transgenderism, and really the worst part, because 700,000 people, okay, let's say you double it. You're still talking about a million, 400,000 people, and that's a tiny percentage of the population of the United States. What is outside is the influence by their activist segment. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think there's 700,000 charge. I don't think there is. I think it's more like maybe 20,000.
Their argument. I'm even doubling just for the sake of argument. I'll give them even more. Even if you double, it's still not even 1% of the population.
True. It's a lot of people, though, 700,000. But at the same time, that just shows how sick we are.
Underrepresented. There's really more, but they're just afraid to tell you. So I say, okay, I'll triple it now. And then when I was, it's still under 1% of the population.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is this. Like I said, no taxpayer money should go towards any type of research for their so they can learn how to cut their penises off better or turn into a woman better. No, we need to be, and that really should make people very upset who have family members that pass away for cancer or breast cancer, people that are dying of cancer, where that money can go towards research for that, to cure that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a darn shame.
Well, actually, we're thinking about it, though, as a radical kind of plastic surgery. Plastic surgery, of course, is beneficial to restore people who have been disfigured, particularly soldiers wounded in battle and people in automobile accidents and all kinds of things like that. So plastic surgery, of course, is a valuable surgical tool. Oftentimes, plastic surgery can repair defects, like in your nose.
Yeah, true.
Breathe better and all these kind of things. But this thing is, I think, this is doing harm to healthy organs. I don't think doctors should be allowed to do it, really.
Well, I had somebody who mentioned that to me. It was kind of like they likened it to somebody going in to have their arm amputated because it bothers them that it was healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, baloney.
I mean, just imagine being at war with your limbs because you think you're a worm.
Yeah.
It's just like you were born that way.
I thought you were
going
to go to a doctor. You got four healthy limbs, But I want you to amputate them because I want to be a worm and I want to move like a worm's supposed to.
It's just like they were born that way. I was born a homosexual. That's a bunch of crap. You were molded that way through your thought patterns, through whatever, or you were just born a mental retard, one or the other, you know? I mean, it's just simple as that, you know?
Yep.
You weren't bullying, you know? I mean, I'm just so sick of it. And when we really, as a people, have to say we're sick of it too. You know, when are we going to put our foot down and say enough is enough? And we got to use our First Amendment to say that. We got to stop sugarcoating everything and appeasing these people. We don't need to offend them. You know what? Make them feel unwelcomed. Make them not feel wanted. You know, and that's just the way it is. It's the way it's got to be. You know, you're a queer eye, queer whatever. You're not welcome in my home. That's it. Get out. That's it.
Look,
you know?
Look, I believe some of them can function. But look, mental illness comes along a spectrum. You got low-functioning people. You got low-functioning people with mental illness, and you got high-functioning people with mental illness. So it depends upon where on the spectrum they fit. Now, if you're mentally ill and you're unable to reconcile it, and you get to the point where you become angry when people disagree with you on a philosophical or principled basis or whatever the reason, religious, I don't care what it is, and they disagree, and all of a sudden this is upsetting to you because people simply do not agree with your concept of what you are, then you're probably not functioning very well with your mental illness. You probably
That's right.
need to have
exactly.
Now, if on the other hand, you think you're a woman and you're a man, and it doesn't bother you one bit what other people think, and you live your life and you don't demand other people have that same point of view and all that, well, you're probably a high-functioning transgender, and you're not going to really do any harm to anybody as long as, you know, you keep it to yourself. I'd say, even though I don't like it, Bruce Jenner is probably one of those individuals because he just kind of shrugs it off and says, okay, well, if you don't want to believe I'm transgender, okay with me, I don't care. And men shouldn't be competing on women's transgender teams. Okay, so he's probably on the higher end of the mentally ill spectrum. But no
yep.
matter which end of the spectrum it's on, transgenderism is a manifestation clearly of a mental illness. You are at war with normal, healthy, functioning parts of your body. Your mind does not match what nature put on you normally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're
yeah.
they're coming up with this whole idea that God made a mistake. Well, sorry
yeah.
to tell you, you don't.
Yeah, yeah, and God makes mentally ill people, people with schizophrenia and paranoia and delusions of all kinds. We don't celebrate that. We say, how do we cure them?
Yeah.
We've got to say this is a mental illness that first and foremost ought to be treated if the patient will consent to it.
Yeah.
Well, look at all the people that are popping up now with the defects because of the COVID, all the babies that are being born or dying. There's so many that we're not hearing about that's happening out there because of this vaccination. A lot of side effects are starting to kick in with people with heart problems, blood clots. I mean, this vaccination thing, I mean, this is pretty bad, and it's starting to really catch up. I mean, wait till another 5 years from now how bad it's going to get. I mean, we see athletes dropping like nothing. I mean, look,
yeah,
even major
never
prime time.
Like healthy, fit people just dying in their sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They made prime time football this year with the athlete dropping on the middle of the field, remember? But did the Detroit?
Well, that was traumatic, blunt force trauma, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
I mean,
that happened because, you know, obviously because
and
what he's been
through.
And we know
that happened in boxing matches sometimes or martial arts sparring.
But it's happening more, though, because of that, because
mm-hmm.
of the vaccine. And he was a proponent of that vaccine, too. And now to come to find out, that athlete, he had gotten the vaccine, the shot, 2 weeks prior to that. So, you know, it's all two and two getting put together now. And I'm wondering, you know, if there's something else, if the people that they shot got the vaccine, if there's a way that they could spread it to us somehow, some way, you know, through sexual contact or something. I'm just wondering, who knows what they come up with nowadays, you know, because they want to wipe us out, that's for sure. There's no
mm-hmm.
doubt about it, you know.
They can wipe us all out. They need enough of us to be their serfs, so I don't think they want to wipe all of us out.
No, of course not.
Billion.
Yeah.
2 or 3 billion maybe, and they'll... you know, they'll then figure maybe they'll have enough surf left to keep them on.
Well, they want $500 million. That's what the Georgia Guidestones said, $500 million. That's controllable. $500 million is a very good population for their new world order and what they want. Remember, Sarge, these people worship the devil. They worship Satan. They have very sick, twisted rituals that, you know, if you dig deep down into the occult and you know, look at the degrees of the occult and the stages of them and what they do, you'd be shocked and horrified at what they do. And I'm wondering if they actually do talk to demons. And I've never gotten that far along in my studying it or getting engaged with them. But I'm starting to wonder about that. I wonder, you know, if I want to try to, you know, look into that and see if they really do talk to an evil spirit. Because they say they do. They talk to evil spirits that influence them and give them their decisions.
They call it spirit cooking?
Yeah, or they're you know, I forgot what they call it, where they channel them in, or they, you know, they have these portals that they can come through. And I'm wondering if that is Satan, that, you know, or demon, or you know, I'm wondering.
That there's a kind of ritual where they do some kind of, you know, some kind of thing where they bring spirits.
Well, look at that movie that was out, Annabelle. That movie Annabelle, that was Coventry, Connecticut. That was right where I was from up there, and that was a real woman. She was a real woman. The Warrens, they were real people, and they had a cat that was talking in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The one year I remember, it was over to the police. Over the police couldn't believe it. It was over to police radio. The cop called it in. It was a cat. It was a house that was haunted. They said in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and it was a cat that started talking. You know, so it was a possessed demon house. It was real, and it's still there to this day. You could look it up on the internet. Bridgeport, Connecticut, the animal that talks. It made the news. It was in the '70s, and the Warrens went there, and I guess, and they fixed it. They're people that can channel through and do stuff, but that's still not of God. You know, doing that stuff, even though they claim it's good. You know, venturing off into evil spirits and whatnot. But my point being is, I'm one of these elites. Remember, these rich elites that don't have any contact with society, really. They're out of touch with us. They don't know what we do. They've never worked a day in their life. They have servants. They have, you know, they don't even spend money. It's people spend it for them. That's how rich they're, like the Rothschilds, the J.P. Morgans. They're not in touch with us. They don't eat at restaurants like we do. They socialize in high-class dinners and other groups of people and network and very high-class different types of people. You ever joke around with how rich people are, how they're weird or strange, they're different, you know, or stuck up compared to us. You know, well, that's true. There's a base to that, and a foundation to that. You know, now the Rothschilds, they're super rich. They don't congregate with us. They don't go to McDonald's or Burger King. You know, so these people are the ones that they say run the world. You know, there's very few percent that they don't call the shots, that buy the paw off the politicians and the governments over the years. So, you know, I'm wondering if they do talk to Satan, if they do talk to evil. It's kind of like, you know, how our good people say we talk to God. Well, I'm wondering if they talk to Satan, you know, and he tells them what to do. Or, you know, I just don't know. It's a very interesting – I've just been looking into that more and more because, look, these Democrats and these liberals, there's a control over them. It's demonic. They're evil, you know, some of these people. You notice how evil they are? I mean, they're the way they look, the way they – like Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it's just – they get that evil about them, you know, that they're not good. You know, I mean, who in their right mind would kill a child after it's born and say, that's okay, and let's make it a law? I mean, who would say such a thing? You know, I mean, your conscience, you know?
I know one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How could you go to bed at night? How could you honestly look at yourself in the mirror saying that's okay, you know, and be a hypocrite on the other end and lock people up for killing? You know, it's crazy. It's insane. It's just insane.
Well, one of the things that's going on here in New Mexico is our governor is one of those people who she was just gleeful and almost giddy when she got her law passed that made it so that abortion was legal in New Mexico all the way up until birth and even after birth. And there were a couple of counties in the southeast part of New Mexico that said, nope, that isn't happening here. The governor tried to move a abortion clinic into Lee County, and Lee County said, nope, ain't gonna happen here. And they made a law saying that they couldn't do it, and now the governor is saying, no, you can't do that, that's beyond your capability. And she's trying to make a law now saying that you cannot do that if you're a county in New Mexico.
Really? Well, she can't make laws, the governor. The governor can't make laws. So she can sign executive orders, but you know what? They're unconstitutional. So she can do all she wants, but the county does have the right to pass their own ordinances to do that. Yes, they do.
Yep.
So
and
that's
all
where
the sheriff steps in.
All
of those counties down on the southeast part of New Mexico have made themselves sanctuary counties for against abortion.
And that's
the
growing.
The governor has gone absolutely apeshit crazy over that one because they're not supposed to be able to do that. Well, they
that's moving across the country a lot more. I'm hearing more and more of that, of these laws that are being forced upon the people that they're making and creating, that they're unconstitutional. And and it's getting that. I think that's where the spark is going to happen, where it's going to really be the people are going to have to make a decision, the good versus the bad, you know. And we're really going to have to say, look, are we going to allow this in our republic? Mm-hmm. Are we going to allow this? And really what they're going to do also – is they're going to distract us. They're going to march us into a war with China or something like that, and we're going to be all consumed with that while they do the other things off on the side, you know?
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I mean, look at World War II, you know? I mean, you know, how the country got distracted, you know? And we're going to our factories are all going to have to go on extra workload. I mean, just think, if we go to war with China, how devastating that will be to our economy. You know, how much we'll have to, you know, people are going to have to get back up and go back to work. You know, we're going to start producing things in this country again. Otherwise, we're not going to have nothing. When you think about it.
We're going to have a shortage of medicine until we start ramping up pharmaceutical production again.
Yeah. I mean,
basic medicine that a lot of people need to stay alive.
Yeah. Taiwan, they shut down Taiwan. You know, it's not microchips that come out of there. A lot of other things come out of there, too, you know. So people just don't understand the devastation and how close we are to complete devastation here in this country, because America does not produce much anymore.
The United States used to be one of the most self-sufficient nations imaginable, considering how much trade it did. And now look at what it is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Pathetic. And if you try to produce something, Sarge, or if you try to start a factory, if you try to start a business, they'll shut you down. You know, the super giants, the Glamazon, places like that, they'll swallow you up and they'll shut you down, or you'll get or the local governments that are like this gentleman was just talking about, they'll pass their own ordinances. You can't even have a lemonade stand anymore without having a permit. Come on, you know? That's how bad it's gotten.
I can remember the United States really had any need, didn't have much of, was maybe rubber and maybe nickel. Almost everything else they needed for industries to be found right here in the United States.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
chrome,
it's just
nickel,
insane.
And rubber.
Look at Germany during World War II, how they, you know, even them, a small country. You see, everybody worked back then. They were able to produce the things they needed, you know. Even if, you know, today we don't have that anymore. We, you know, everything's all over in communist hands. You know, China controls it all now. You know, Japan, Taiwan, you know, all these other countries control everything. The United States, the West, don't control very much in production anymore. Even our food, our agriculture, it's really bad.
Well,
yep.
At least Japan is allied, or at least friendly to us, reasonably.
Well, Well, you don't think they'd like to get us back, though, for World War II.
If it comes to that. But China is actively hostile to the United States, and we're becoming utterly dependent upon them. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like Donald Trump tried to warn them crazy Europeans over there, and the crowds laughed at him about being dependent on Russia.
Yeah, now they're not laughing anymore.
No, not laughing anymore. He was on the money, spot on, dead on, right. They're so funny. Look at this rube laughing at us sophisticated Europeans.
Yeah. Well, it's like you, Sarge, I was telling you earlier, Sarge, where I was on a show last night, a liberal talk show, arguing with them, you know, and there's no getting through those people. They are just completely whacked in the head. Just completely whacked in the head. There's no reasoning with them. There's no middle ground with them. I mean, we were willing to reason, and we're willing, you know, and give in a little and come to logic, you know.
Yeah,
at least some.
Do we have with Naj is a Marxist, man. We had a reasoned discussion with him tonight, didn't we? We didn't insult him. We did respond sometimes with a little bit of skepticism of what he said, but we were civil and we were pointed. And we had a vigorous discussion, and it was all above board.
And isn't that interesting?
Rare, that's kind of rare when it comes to leftists doing that with us, man.
Good point, Sarge.
They have no coot.
Good point, Sarge. You call in to a liberal show or even a Black Panther show or something like that that's on Blog Talk Radio, you will be shut down, smashed, called names. But, yep, this guy calls into my show, and you know my show. I'm hardline, you know. But it was reasonable discussion, and I give everybody that voice, you know. So, but you can't do that with them.
He made every point he wanted to make. And we responded vigorously to every point he made.
Yep. Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. And then you let the audience decide for themselves.
There you go.
And you present the facts. Present the facts. And then let people decide.
He had complete, full opportunity to present his point of view. And we certainly had opportunity to present ours. And every single point was responded to or confronted on both his side and ours.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that on their shows, that's for sure. I got hung up on last night after Zoom. You know, they wouldn't let me get my points across. And then they got to call me names and criticize me and insult me.
I'll tell you what my encounter with them was like. They wound up at the end of it calling me a white supremacist. I thought that was really amazing. I gotta admit, man, I thought it was very, very, very amusing.
About 6 years ago, I still had my blog going, and I've tried to get it restarted. But I had this one liberal guy that was probably about 19 or 20 years old at the time, and he would come on and just absolutely lambaste everything I said, and then he would come out and say, well, I hate your guts anyway because you think differently than me. And that's just exactly how they think.
Exactly. You know what I think a lot of it is, though, guys, and it's one thing that I think we should take into mind. I'm not saying we should forgive them for it, because we shouldn't. We should confront them with it. But I think part of it is that they are so insecure in their beliefs. They don't know anything, and what they know is based on the shakiest of foundations. It is counterfactual, for the most part. It is contrary to human nature. It does not follow with history, tradition, cannot be verified often by the scientific method or linear reasoning or rational thought or empiricism or epistemology. It has no basis. They're insecure. That's why they're so insecure. That's why they scream so much. That's why they call you names so much. This is why. They are absolutely insecure. This is why they bully. They have to bully you into their belief system. It's anti-human nature.
It's just like Ronald Reagan said one time. He said, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, they know so much that isn't so. Oh, Ronnie, boy, he threw a coin of phrase. And I got to admit, man, when he did that Attire for Choosing speech, that is one of the best speeches I've heard any politician.
Yeah.
It's still resonating. I absolutely
love that speech. I listen to it every once in a while.
Still, I played on my intro.
He had such a great voice, it peeled, you know what I mean? It kind of rang out.
Yeah.
And he would say this, whether a little liberal elite in Washington, D.C. is going to decide our future.
Well, guys, you know, we got to support. Beautiful. Make sure you support all candidates across the country in these local districts or in your district that are going to be supporting the Constitution. And even the incumbents that are in your district, if they're rhinos, get them out of there. You know, we've got to be, these elections are so very important. Made a little bit of a change during this midterms. We didn't make quite a change that everyone was calling for. But the 2024 elections is so key. I mean, I just cannot see the country withstanding another round of these progressive choices and movements that we have. I just can't see it.
Have you heard of this new concept they got in mind for us with the 15-minute city? Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, that was a new thing, folks. It's all tied into the green agenda. What it is they envision most Americans living in cities, and they envision everything that you're intended to need to be within a 15-minute travel of your residence, and whether it be by hiking, riding, and there at certain specified intervals and times, you'll be allowed to take some form of motor vehicle, more likely than not an electrical vehicle. And you're only allowed outside of your zone by edict and by law at certain time periods and only for limited periods of time. You've got to stay within your 15-minute zone. Shopping, education, work, health care, and leisure, you can reach it with a 15-minute walk or bike ride from any place in the city. That's the idea about a 15-minute city. And they're going to enforce it by mandates and restrictions.
So this Riley Gaines, this is that transgender, is that it?
Riley Gaines is actually the swimmer who was beat by Leah Thomas, and she's gone out on a campaign against transgender.
Okay.
About her last week, and I that woman is amazing. She's really causing a stir.
Good.
Guts, man. She's got guts, and she ain't being scared off the objective. They tried to bully and intimidate her, and they were actually forced her into barricade herself against their assault.
Yeah.
At a college campus. And the college campus went up there and expressed sympathy for the so-called lunatic protesters who were threatening assault and in some cases battered her.
Yep,
she's
suing.
She's going to take action against them if that means seeing they get prosecuted and or sued.
Yep, she says she will sue.
Yeah. Well, they say San Francisco State President calls Riley Gaines' sex-protected sports speech deeply traumatic to trans community. Gaines verbally and physically assaulted by transgender protesters at the event.
Yeah, she's an amazing girl. I'll tell you what, she came out of that one and said, told the media, she says, "I am going to sue. They are not getting away with this."
Good. You won't get anywhere in those courts, though, in San Francisco, I'll tell you that.
Well, it all depends. If she moves to the inside of the state, she might get something.
Well, she's Congresswoman Major, GOP Rep Major Taylor Greene is demanding the arrest of Manhattan prosecutor there. So let's support her on that, and hopefully we can get the arrest on him.
Oh, absolutely. He's such a I hate to use the M word, but he is a moron.
Yeah.
Oh man, he is an overeducated dunce. He's got a degree from Harvard. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
He probably got passed through for affirmative action helped him out, Sarge.
The kind of jurisprudence I've never seen anywhere else.
I don't know. Yeah, the way I keep looking at it, though, and I've listened to Horowitz and several others. You cannot take a misdemeanor and make a whole bunch of felonies out of it, and that's exactly what he's done.
Yeah, you imagine that. He gained a function, a misdemeanor, into a felony. This is a guy who regularly downgrades felonies to misdemeanors. He has a literal pattern of doing it. Almost half of the felony arrests made to his office are downgraded to misdemeanors.
I had an article tonight about that, three or four people that he actually went against. One of them was a lady who had her brother and another guy killed, and Bragg talked the killer down from a life sentence to about 13 years, and he's now out on the streets and actually sending out Christmas cards and things to everybody at Christmas time, which essentially taunts everybody, you know, the families of the people he killed. But he's now out on the streets because Bragg let him go. But he won't stop and think, well, Trump didn't do anything here. What the heck is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just blows me away about that. You know, he's so adamant that he wants to get Trump, but he'll let other people go when they're not doing any, when they're actually killing people, and he'll let them go.
Yeah, it's sick, man. This is sick. This is induced chaos, so the people demand more control over their lives from the government, while the government fails in its basic duty to protect the citizenry. It's the most amazing bit of the two-stepping I've ever seen.
Yep, and that's absolutely the truth. That's all it is, just a dance routine.
I'm telling you, man, we got a real uphill road to climb. If we don't like Joe said, we've got to get a control on this election, this coming up election. If this state of affairs continues, the Constitutional Republic is dead.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of people who are already saying that it's dying right now, and it is. But what we have to do is start waking up, realizing what this government and what all these people are doing to us. And they're doing it in so many different ways that it's hard to keep track of it. You know, all we have to do is just sit here. You know, I talked about a whole bunch of things tonight, and all of it had to do with one or two things. And they're spreading things out so much now that people just don't realize what's going on, and they have to wake up.
Yeah.
What state is Taylor Greene in? She's in Georgia, isn't she, Sarge?
Yeah, she's a representative in state Georgia.
Yeah, she's in Georgia. And Yvette Harrell, who was beat here in New Mexico, I guess all the Democrats are going apeshit crazy over her because she is now trying to take back the seat that she, the congressional seat that she lost in southern New Mexico. And what they did to beat her on this one was her section was down in the southwest part of New Mexico. That was all conservative. And what they did was they added a whole section up the west side of the state that went all the way up to Albuquerque, and every bit of it that they added was Democrat. Well, she got beat because of their gerrymandering of the maps. But the thing that really was interesting about that was that she didn't lose by much. So she's running again, and now all the Democrats are going crazy over that because they keep saying that she's passes misinformation about everything, and that she's going to hurt this country and that it's going to hurt this state. Well, she's the one who was fighting for the state. The Democrats aren't.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene represents a new type of Republican legislator. And,
yeah, and I like her.
A nail that sticks up gets hammered. That's why she catches all the grief she's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And she sticks. And they don't like her one bit.
Yeah, because she's the type that, you know, when that nail sticks up, she's going to pound it back in. They do not like that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. I like her. She's got that Candace Owens aspect.
Yeah, and I think there's more and more of them out here that are actually fighting in that direction. And, you know, because like when I started this show, finding a conservative in government was kind of iffy if you could. They were there, but they just didn't say much. Now they're starting to gather around and start talking. And it's getting to the point where even the media can't ignore them. No matter how much they try.
Yeah, we just had another bunch of tolerant leftists turning over the table, Turning Point USA table at the University of Washington. Get the bleep off my campus, you Nazi.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
People act like brown shirts and they accuse others of being Nazis.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they just keep flipping the script.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I had that brought up. I was going to talk about it. Yeah, it says violent trans activist flips TPUSA table at University of Washington. Well, University of Washington, that's another liberal bastion of everything, but I thought that was pretty cool. That I saw that in Turning Point USA on their stuff. But they also had another one in there about, Riley Gaines. I'm trying to find that now, but I can't find it because it showed up and then it disappeared.
Wow. Man, there are increasing elements of raising transgender activists and these people are mentally ill. We are dealing with mentally ill people, and I believe they're dangerous.
Oh, I do too. I believe they're absolutely dangerous. And they keep talking about how they are offended by our beliefs. Well, what about our beliefs? To me, I'm offended by their beliefs. So what the heck is the difference? Except that I'm conservative, of course.
I believe murder comes instinctively to them. The impulse to murder comes instinctively to them, I believe. They're mentally ill. We got to start off with the fact that clearly what they believe and what they the way they act is a sign of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised by any of this.
Yeah, I found that one I was talking about. There's one arrested and two charged at TPUSA event with Riley Gaines at the University of Buffalo. And it says a protester was arrested for attempting to hit a camera out of a woman's hands outside a Riley Gaines speaking event with Turning Point USA chapter at the University of Buffalo last night. The three protesters began following and intimidating a camera woman filming for the Leadership Institute. When she lowered her camera, one protester hit it with a sign, attempting to knock it out of her hands. Police immediately intervened, and one suspect was captured on video running away from officers. So, there's absolutely no, they talk about how they want tolerance, and they want all of this great stuff. They want everybody to be tolerant of everybody else, but when it comes to tolerance, they have none, unless, of course, you believe the way they do. And it just blows me away. I just can't understand how people can think that this kind of stuff is right when all their lives they should have been told that it's not.
Well, right is actually, objective morality is not something that particularly interests them. Everything is their truth, my truth, and your truth. There is no transcendent objective truth because they just reject it. Because it is at odds with what they believe. They can't. They have to say that, the things like what you just said they say. They have to. I mean, otherwise their belief system falls apart.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's falling apart anyway, truthfully.
Star, you ever talk to Mr. Keyes anymore?
Who?
Mr. Keyes. You ever talk to Mr. Keyes anymore?
I haven't spoken to him in a few years.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you go on that show where she was going to interview Alan Keyes? Who was it? Well, Suzanne, I think it was, I think. Somebody was doing a show where they were going to interview him. Remember?
Yeah, somebody was. I didn't see it when they said they were supposed to be able to see it.
Yeah, neither did I.
Because I certainly went there immediately. Tried to catch it, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, I know I was trying to find those shows that was mentioned to me the other day on the last show that I did with you guys here. I think it was Joseph. You told me about two shows.
I was looking for you. I asked Sarge, I brought it up. I said, hey, where's our conservative buddy? I was talking about you on my show.
Oh, man,
I actually got there, but I got there a little bit too late, and your show had already happened. So I listened to it, but I didn't get to say anything.
Oh, okay. All right, that's okay.
Well, if you could make a way to have it, I'd love to get those two, the liberals that both you and I had the run-in with, in a neutral forum if they got the guts.
Yeah. I agree. I'm going to try. I promise. You got my word. I'm on this thing all the time, so I'm going to definitely try that. I kind of want to see that happen. You're darn right.
Yeah.
Me and Sarge are going to set it up where we can have a debate with these liberal liberal talk show podcast, and we'll have a moderator. Maybe we should do it on this man's show, huh?
Yeah, you can do it on this one.
I don't think they trust him.
Yeah, because he's a conservative. Yeah.
You could go on like Vince's show because he's got that thing where he hangs up on fruit bats.
Moon bats, I call them moon bats.
Yeah, moon bats.
But listen, I got to step out real quick. It was good talking to you guys tonight. I got to step out real quick. If you guys are still on, and when I come back, and fine. If not, then have a good night.
Okay.
Yeah, you too. Oh, good talking.
All right. God bless you. Okay.
Yeah,
well.
But I'm talking, man. Those two guys that we're referring to on the Jerry Williams show, I think it is, they were just horrid. God. Horrid.
Yeah, I had it all written down here, and I moved my papers. I had them all on my second computer because I got two computers here, and one of them just is a newer one, but it doesn't work because something happened to it, and when I open it up and turn it on, all the colors are just jabberwocky on the screen, so it's kind of hard to read. So I'm using my old computer to do this, and I had it sitting on there, and I decided last week that I was going to pull all that paperwork off of there and see if I could get that computer to work, and I never did. And I have no idea where I put all the paper where I wrote everything down on.
Well, you know how that is, man. You must be too busy. You got to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is we slow down and the left doesn't. We
man,
have problems.
Man, they have a lot of vitality for the nonsense they believe, don't they? Plus,
yeah,
it probably helps if you got no jobs.
Yeah, I was trying to talk with the Donnie C show where I'd gone. Tried to get in there, but I got there too late, and they'd already aired the show. So, but I've been doing all kinds of stuff here, trying to figure out just what the heck is going on, and most everybody is, the liberals are just. Right at the moment, they're so adamant that they are right and they can do anything that they want, and it's destroying this country. We need to stop them.
No, man. Well, like I said, it's, our ideas and their ideas are like matter and antimatter trying to exist in the same space. It can't be done. It just can't be.
It can't be done.
There's too much of a difference. They're like poles apart.
And they get offended by everything that is against them, but they don't think about people being offended by them. They think that they're right and everything, and nobody has the right to be offended by them.
Yep. I gotta admit. Man, I'm telling you, it is. But once again, my little canine friend is telling me I got to take care of him. He's
okay.
A great friend, and he doesn't ask for much, but he does insist upon that. He's walking up to me with a leash in his mouth.
No, he wants
a
walk.
Okay, come on, Loki. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, Loki. We call him Loki because he looks like he's got that little skull cap that Loki wears.
Yeah.
That's why he named him Loki.
Looks
like he's got a little skull cap over his head, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called in tonight. I was hoping that was you when the number came up first. And I answered it, and nobody answered, so I thought, well, I'm glad you called back.
Whenever I call in and wait for it to come in, because I don't want any sounds in the background to come through when they first come on, when you say unmute, goes unmute.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that I think Joseph told me last week was that if these are things I didn't know about Blog Talk Radio. You know, if you push one, it puts a little hand up there that says you want to talk. Well, I didn't know that. I thought, well, it just shows up because they've been on there for a while.
No,
I've been doing this since 2007, so it's like I.
Yeah, really. right. Well, look, it's been good talking to you, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you again. You'll be on when again?
You'll
be on break time again next week?
Yeah, the same time as this week. I'll be here at 7 o'clock Mountain Time or 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Friday. So I'll be here.
All right, well, I'll catch you then.
Okay. God bless you, and have fun with the pup.
Yeah, give my regards to your family, and take care.
I sure will. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, bye.
Okay. We are about 15, 20 minutes into the third hour, and I am in the process now of, I'm still here, so if Joseph calls back in, I will go ahead and... Okay. What we were looking at before I got messed up and taken out of this whole thing, everything that I talked about tonight was essentially all about this transgender phobia that they are heaping on us here in the United States. You know, if you don't believe in this, if you believe in God, then you don't believe in transgender rights or anything like that, because it's all fake, folks. It's all fake. And there is nothing more scary to me as a patriot of America to be told that I have to listen to this less than 1% of our nation telling me what to do. No, I don't. I mean, my beliefs are probably at least 50% of the people if you stop and think about it. And nobody is believing this. You know, they're telling us all that if you're trans, you're less than 1% of this country, you're the ones who are running it. No, you're not. You're evil. You're wrong. And all of these idiots like Leah Thomas, I wish I could remember his actual first name, because if I could, I'd say it. And like Richard Levine in government, who is now supposedly a woman, one of the ugliest I've ever seen in my life, but everybody calls him a her. He was made a the woman of the year by Time, I think it was. And this should offend every woman out there, because this is a guy. I don't care what the heck he has done to his body. I don't care if he's gone through the transgender surgery and gotten rid of everything that makes him a guy. When he dies, his DNA in his bones will tell everyone in the future that this was a guy. Leah Thomas, a guy who stole trophies from actual women by deciding one day that, oh, I can only rank like 244th with the men, so maybe if I change myself over to a woman, I can win, finally, just what I want to do. And that's where this Riley Gaines came out of, folks. She woke up. She is pissed off. She is fighting back. Shouldn't the rest of us be doing the same thing? Shouldn't the rest of us be doing that? Because if we don't, everything is going to go to hell in a handbasket, and we're watching our country being taken down by these moronic idiots who keep pushing this whole thing on us. Not thinking that it's offending everyone. And we keep looking at stuff that's going on. They're bringing up all these things. Like right now, Breitbart is talking about everything you need to know about the alleged Pentagon leaks. Sure, this is important, folks, but so is everything else. And we're being hit by so damn much lately. Only ones that seem to be getting their voices out is people like Brennan, who says that Marjorie Taylor Greene is not fit to hold public office. Why? Because she's speaking the truth. She's speaking the truth. It's just like Trump. He's speaking the truth, but now he will. Now they're talking about he will be indicted in classified docs case. And then there's another one. Police in Pennsylvania high school track coach allegedly had sex with teen student for a year. Well, where is all of this kind of stuff coming from, folks? If you stop and look at this, it's all coming from one place. It's coming from the left and their ideals to destroy this country. That's all there is to it. They are trying to destroy this country. And it's sad that we are allowing this to happen. Why are we allowing it to happen? Because we have not woke up to the fact that our country is in danger. Our country is being destroyed by the radical left, by the Bidens and the Hunt, by the everybody that I could name, Maxine Waters, Dianne Feinstein, thank God she's gone, Nancy Pelosi, thank God she's gone, although she's still there, Chuck Schumer, Mitt Romney. We need to get rid of all of these people, folks. Biden, both Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and Jill Biden. Get rid of all of them. This is getting ridiculous. We are doing our best here to see, to put out what is going on in this nation. This show doesn't get heard by many people. Tonight I had three people on the phone. I had five people in my chat room. This was great. I love this kind of a show. It makes the show go faster. It makes it easy to do a 3, maybe 4-hour show where I don't have to worry about much because I've got 3 or 4 people telling me what to say, what to talk about, how to do this, what to say when I lose what I'm talking about. And it happens this way all the time. My show last week had 5 people who saw the thing, even up to, well, I think it's 8 now. If you go into the archives, it shows an 8 there. The one before had 10. The one before that had 13. Hopefully tonight we'll have more than that. I keep looking to try to bring in more and more people. I want to talk to that one person who's trying to start a show in Montana. Don't know his name. I'd love to find out what his name is. Get him on this network. This network's got openings all over the place. All over the place. Things that we could, you know, we could get. When I first got with Conservative Nation Media, they were called Conservative Nation Radio back then. It was in 2013. And I had a section of my show that I did back then. It was, I think, my second show with Conservative Nation Media, and I was going to record part of what I had said back then. And what I had said had to do with what is going on today. 10 years ago, folks, 10 years ago. And when we keep pushing, you know, and there's where the Republicans and the Democrats have it different. And I said this back then too. You get a Republican who's running for office. He gets beat. What does he do? He goes home and lives his life or goes back to what he was doing before. But the Democrats, they get beat. And one of the things that they got beat on this last week, and my mind just went totally blank on that one. And it was something that happened this week, and it was something that the Democrats were trying to push on us. And they got beat in a major way. They got beat really badly in a major way. Now, Republicans would say, okay, we got beat let's go back to helping the, trying to help this country and go back to doing what we need to do to help this country. Democrats, on the other hand, they got beat, and their first idea is to go back to the drawing board. We didn't do something right. Something has to be done differently to get what we want. And then they go back into their back rooms, their board meetings, and everything else, start pounding the gavel, saying, order in the court, this has got to, this is what we've got to discuss today. We've got to figure out what we did wrong. And then for 4 years, they stew over this, and they work on this, and they go on this and do everything they can to keep this idea that they've got, that they just got beat really badly with, to see if they can bring it back out again and see if they can get closer to winning. The Republicans don't do this. The Republicans go back and they keep pushing what they want, and, you know, according to the Constitution. And I know there's a lot of people out there right now that are saying there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, but there is. The Republicans revere, especially the conservative constitutional Republicans, revere the Constitution, revere our laws, revere the law of the land. They want the laws enforced. They want our borders closed. Democrats, on the other hand, don't want our laws. They want to get rid of the laws. They want to get rid of the Constitution because it hinders them. It offends them. They want to get rid of it because it stands in their way for getting what they want. And we have to stop and think about this, folks, because we're finally starting to wake up to the point that, you know, and I said this for years upon years. I think I started this show in 2007. And back then I was saying the Republicans have to stop trying to make friends with the Democrats because the Democrats will never be our friends. Democrats will always be against what we do. And one of the big things I talked about back then was when Bush, and this was a little bit farther forward now, but Bush, the Democrats were against him completely. Everything that he did was wrong until the very end. And Bush just gave up. He had been pushed against his whole 8 years that he was in office, and he finally just gave up. He said, it's not worth it. Give them what they want. You'd think the Democrats then would say, oh, he finally came to our side. No, they didn't. They hated him even more. They said, he flip-flopped. He did this. He did that. He's not a good leader because he did what, essentially, he did what we wanted him to do. But they wore him down. And that's what scares them about Trump. That's what scares them about Trump, because he is not allowing himself to be worn down. He's not allowing himself to give up. Just got a thing from Newsbreak here. Well, that one, I don't want that one. Another one that I found out little while ago, that came actually from Indiana, where I was living when I did this show three years ago. I was in Indiana, 4 years ago now. But it was in Montgomery County. Train hits and kills man who drove around the railroad crossing barrier. Now, to me, this is stupid. You know there's a train coming. There's the barrier is down. Why are we becoming so stupid that we can't know that a train will hit your car and kill you? That's essentially what this was. An Amtrak train struck and killed a man who drove around the railroad crossing arm. Now, if the arm's down, why would you drive around it? You know there's a train coming. And trains are coming faster than they look like they are. That's exactly what went on here. The guy thought, well, that train's farther back. I can get through here. Nope. He's dead. And this is the kind of thinking that the Democrats have forced on all of us. We're looking at things through the pink lens of liberalism. We're not seeing the logic of everything anymore. Logic has kind of flown out the window and gone away. And this whole thing with Dylan Mulvaney, that just makes me sick. These people are mentally ill, and we're raising a new generation of mentally ill people. Thankfully, there are a few out there that are stopping and scratching their heads and saying, now, wait, this isn't right. This isn't what is supposed to be. There'll be more of them kind coming up. As I know what's going on right now isn't. We'll be right back after these messages. We will be right back. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is looking to bring in new shows so we can reach more people. We report the truth, not the spin of the liberal mainstream media. We worry because laws are not being enforced, and if you tell the truth, you could lose everything. You can't even walk in once safe neighborhoods. You are likely to get killed doing that. Right now, we have two shows, NWCR Radio and Black by Color Only. American by Design is on hiatus. We believe in God, law and order, and the Constitution. We believe our borders must be closed to illegals, and there are only two sexes, and we honor our veterans and our boys in blue, too. If you like expressing the truth and love for America, send us an email to Conservative Nation Media, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Tell us your show ideas, and we will get back with you. We are Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Join us today.
High in the Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company is hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with High in the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision.
Sarge comes back or Joseph comes back, that would be great. I am still here. But we are looking here at, I was looking just now at Breitbart. I can go to Newsmax here also. And one of the things that the top headline on this is Trump talked to the NRA today and he said, I'll be your loyal friend, fearless champion. One of the things that he keeps talking about is how the little left is coming for you. They're not really coming for him in the aspect that they're coming for him. They're coming for him because he is standing in the way of them coming to us and getting us. But one of the things that he did say tonight was that guns are not the problem. which they're not. He said it's mental health, social, cultural, and spiritual. Standing for the Second Amendment and the hardening of schools, including arming teachers, former President Donald Trump gave the forceful answer to Democrats' frequent calls for gun control after mass shootings. Trump told the National Rifle Association annual convention in a speech that aired live on Newsmax, quote, "This is not a gun problem. This is a mental health problem. This is a social problem. This is a cultural problem. This is a spiritual problem. Each and every one of these heinous acts depend on some on the same cold-blooded calculation that the evil monster will have a window of time to act out their demonic fantasy unchallenged. They want to be unchallenged. They don't want challenge. The only way to stop these wicked acts is to ensure that any sicko who would shoot up a school knows that within seconds, not minutes, they will face certain death. They will have to know that. And they won't be doing it." Trump's speech was not about being a loyal friend and a fearless champion for gun owners and public safety. He was not just about being a loyal friend and a fearless champion for gun owners and public safety. He also called for funding police, armed guards, and training and arming teachers. He said, "For this reason, I will ask Congress to repeal totally ineffective legislation that makes it harder to protect our schools and easier for criminals to face absolutely no opposition when they go in. I will also create a new tax credit to reimburse any teacher for the full cost of a concealed carry firearm training from highly qualified experts. Who better? If even 5% of teachers, people that are skilled with guns, we want that. 5% were voluntarily armed and trained to stop active shooters, we would achieve effective deterrence and the problem would cease to exist, and that would be a lot of people." Trump added that it would cost just a fraction of what it costs Americans to defend Ukraine against Russia's war. For about $12 billion, we could fund armed security guards at the entrance of every school in America and also arm every willing teacher. We want to arm some of these teachers. They have to go through rigorous, and some people say vigorous, and I like vigorous better. I don't like rigorous. They have to go through vigorous training. Now, here's the thing about this whole thing, folks. I have taken that test to be a concealed carrier. Now, in order for me to have passed that test, I needed to have $67. I didn't have it, but I passed the test. I passed the test very well, as a matter of fact. I studied for it just for a couple of minutes, actually. I studied it for about, 60 minutes. Excuse me. And studied and figured out the answers to the questions. Then I took the test. I passed. I think I missed one question, and I wasn't sure of that one when I answered it. I thought, this is wrong. But I passed the test, folks. It's not that easy. It's not that hard to conceal carry weapons pass test. And you can do it. People need to start arming themselves because the government's coming for you, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, the government is coming for you. They are coming to destroy your constitutional rights. And the constitutional right that they're going after mostly right now is your right to bear arms. It's like an Amendment 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, and I keep asking this question, what part of shall not be infringed do they not understand? Apparently, they don't know English. Because to me, shall not be infringed means you cannot do it. You cannot do this. But what has the left been doing every election cycle for as far back as I can remember? They've been working to get rid of our guns. They are now working to get rid of our cars because gasoline cars are polluting. But they're not bringing up other points here. People who can defend themselves with guns are the front line. Police are not front line. They're not there. It takes them minutes at least to get where you're at if there's an active shooter. And if there's an active shooter and you don't have a gun and the police are not there yet, what do you think is going to happen? I'll give you a good example of that. Idaho, the shooting of those kids, those students, and those kids, those students that were killed in Idaho. Nobody had a gun. Police were minutes away. The shooter had his choice just to go right in and start shooting. Now, with me, I live probably 5 minutes from a police station. How much can be done to you if you have an active shooter who comes in and starts shooting and you're cowering in a corner thinking, okay, I got to get to the phone, call the police, get them here, while the shooter is there killing people? You're probably going to be one of them. When the police arrive, all they have to do is just go in and say, well, this guy's dead. His wife is dead. Looks like a shooter got in here and broke in. Now, what if you had a gun? Some guy breaks into your house with a gun and you already have a gun leveled at him. He starts to fire, but you fire first and you kill him while your wife is calling the police. And there you go. It's all over before it even began. The police haven't been involved yet, but they will be. They'll come in, probably arrest you for shooting this guy who broke into your house and aimed a gun at you. And you can't anymore say that is ridiculous to say because it happens all over this country. People who have defended themselves are now in prison because they shot and killed a perpetrator who was there to kill them. I could probably go through the articles on this and find a whole show worth of people who are now in prison because they defended themselves. Last week I saw three articles, just last week, or maybe it was last week and the week before. There were three articles there about people who are now in jail because they had the audacity, excuse me, to have a gun and they defended themselves. It's sad. It's sad the direction this country is being led. And it's sad the people are not doing anything about it. We have to try to do better, folks. We have a great country here. We have a great nation that is able to be safe because the people are allowed to bear arms. I used to work in Plainfield, Indiana at Epson America. One of the things that always bothered me about that place was that they were constantly in the process. Well, they had this big sign on the front door as you walked in, and it essentially announced that it was a gun-free zone. And a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned something about this and how I didn't think he had ever gotten in there with a gun. But there was one time I was at work somebody did get in with a weapon, and we were all lined out, we were all taken out of the building by a fire drill or something like that, took us out of the building and caught the guy in the back of the building. But he had gotten in there, started a fire, actually, in the dumpster right beside the building, which is why the fire alarm went off in the first place. Then later on, we found out that the guy had a gun. My first thought was, well, that announcement on the front door makes us a sitting duck. If I was still working, if I had a business right now, like if I started a printing shop and had 4 or 5 employees, I'd never put up a sign that says this is a gun-free zone. If I was going to put up a sign, I would put up a sign that says this place is owned and operated by people who carry guns. And I'd wager that I would never have anybody with a gun walk in and demand anything. Because I would not announce that. I would not announce my business as being a gun-free zone, because it wouldn't be. It would not be. I'd make sure of that. And the things that we discussed tonight on this show are the things that are going against America, the things that are going against what will keep this country a great country. The left is doing their best to destroy her. We have to stop this, because if we don't, all hell is going to break loose and we're going to lose this country. It's just like Joseph said and Sarge, both of them said it. We are going to lose this country if we don't put a stop to what is going on today. We have to start watching. We have to start looking. We have to start realizing what the left is doing. They're trying to change our culture. They're doing a damn good job of it. They're changing it to a culture of evil. And a lot of us were raised to not be evil. A lot of us were raised to be godly. A lot of us were raised with the idea that shooting somebody, killing somebody was wrong. But these people running around with their guns nowadays, going into gun-free zones, going into, well, schools, gun-free zones, and shooting up people because they know they can do it. This idea of arming teachers, one of the best ideas I've ever heard in my life. Have some low-life moron go into a school and start trying to shoot a place up and go into a classroom and get his head blown off by a teacher who was ready, had a gun, knew exactly what to do. Bam. And nobody would be killed. And the next gun shooter, school shooter, would sit there and think twice about it before he did it, because he had this idea in his head then that, hey, they're arming teachers. Better not do this. Let's go someplace else. Let's go to a gun-free zone. Hopefully those will disappear too. I thank you folks for being here tonight. I had Duck Northwest, Joseph Gibson, Sarge, Bringing It Boy was here. It was a great show. I'm coming up on 10 minutes before my fourth hour start. And once that starts, then everything that I do through my chat room and everything will disappear. The show will continue, but it makes it harder to do because I can't control anything, can't play anything. I cannot do the things that I do through my chat room because it'll completely shut down. But I am in the process now of recording a new intro. I've got one for my hour one, for hour one, and I've got Duke Brooks, who was the CEO of Conservative Nation Media when I first went to it. He does my first hour one intro. And then I've got hour two with Kathy Hinders of Daily Roll Call. She used to have a show here on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media on Friday nights, and her show was Daily Roll Call. Few people around that know as much about Islam and being a police officer than she does, because she was a police officer, and she reads up and knows about what Islam is and what it's doing to this nation. Bing Fisher, who does his show, American by Design, on Sundays, if we can get him back, hopefully he will get back here soon. But we are looking for people to join our ranks, to join Conservative Nation Media, to become a member of Conservative Nation Media so they can do their shows on this network too. We've got a show on Friday, a show on Saturday. We've got a tentative show on Sunday because American by Design is there right now, but they're on hiatus. We got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday open for shows, folks. And we can actually put another show on Friday nights. It'd have to be earlier in mine because it'll be later in mine too, but my show is from 9 p.m. Eastern time or 7 p.m. Mountain, which is what I am. And I go until 9 or 10 o'clock. If somebody wants another show on Friday, we can put them on before me. We have a show on Saturday. We could actually put another show on Saturday too. As his show comes on at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is 3 p.m. my time. It goes from 3 to 5 my time or 5 to 7 Eastern time. We can put one in from 7 until 9. On Sunday, we can put one that doesn't go around the time that Bing does his show. He does his show usually at 9 or 10 and does a half-hour show. We can put one in for his show. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we don't have a show, and we'd like to get some in there. So if you can, give me a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and let me know that you want a show on Conservative Nation Media. We'll do everything we can to get you there. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. We discussed a bunch of things, but most of them had something to do with transgenderism and what is going on in our schools and things like that. These are things we must stop, folks, if we are to save this country. They're trying to indoctrinate our kids, trying to push our country into lawlessness, and they're succeeding in a wildly unethical way, and this needs to stop. So I will be back next week with my next show on Friday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time or 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Can give you a context of where I'm at. Tomorrow night will be Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Hope you'll join him because he's got a great show too. But I will be back on Monday to do my update. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I will do my updates on those days unless something comes up. But I'll be back next Friday. God bless you all. God bless America. And have a great weekend. And I will talk to you this next week. Have a great day and weekend. Next week with the next episode of NWCR Radio. where we work hard to let you know what America has in store and what the Constitution and our laws have to say about it. Stay tuned. God bless you all.